This episode of the Women Power Podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy. This is Wafala Bedat. You're listening to the Women Power Podcast, a subsidiary platform to the Women Power Summit, the largest event in MENA, with the aim of empowering women and helping them achieve their absolute highest potential. Each week on the Women Power Podcast, you will hear honest, vulnerable, authentic, real conversations from inspiring women. These women will share their experiences and stories into what it takes to build a successful business and career. The podcast will share insights and inspiration and hopefully inspire action and lead change. Based between Dubai and Istanbul, Selena Bieber is the general manager of GoDaddy, Middle East and Africa, leading GoDaddy's brand and business growth in these exciting markets. Before joining GoDaddy, Selena headed up media relations across companies in Europe and spent close to 7 years in Turkey managing the communication activities for a range of clients, including Facebook. Welcome, Selena.
Your name is Selena Bieber. Please tell me.
The original. I was here before.
So I got the interview questions and I'm like, Selena, like I had to do a double take, but has that served you in your career or has it been like the most annoying thing that comes up when people get to when they meet you?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, I can go down that track. So my dad, his name is Jürgen, and so it's Jay Bieber, and he's the only Jay Bieber in all of South Australia. So I think it's probably, if you ask him, he's got a different take on it. For me, if we look at it from a GoDaddy point of view, I think the GoDaddy point of view is really, I got my domain name back when it was still available. So I'm really, really glad that I did, because now when people, it probably would have gone to a Belieber. So being smart in owning your online presence, and I always give this example in you know, workshops and other settings, because I'm like, I've experienced it firsthand. So go and secure your domain name.
Yeah.
But people have, I mean, on Twitter and sort of public settings, when they were dating, I got a lot of random messages. You're a Belieber too. Not really, no, I'm the original. That's my name. And a few people had said, you know, I thought it was your nickname. I'm like, no, it's my real name. Yeah. But now that they've, yeah, and I did use it once to get my driver's license renewed in an hour. That was a true one. And I didn't do it personally, but somebody said, look, this is like Justin Bieber's relative or something, and I got my driver's license in an hour. So that was the one time that it really benefited me. But now that, you know, he's married and
it's someone, no longer relevant.
Yeah, it's no longer a major issue. But I do occasionally get like a, you know, random Twitter message or follow that I'm like, oh, we're still trying to live the dream in the cyber world.
That's so crazy. So my husband is called Zaman Zaman, which if you translate it into Arabic, it's called time, which is so cheesy. So like everywhere he goes, like he gets all these jokes about, like, you know, there's like all these Egyptian songs or Arabic poetry and they're like Zaman Zaman. He's like, wow, how original. Like I haven't heard that before. So he gets him. But I think having like a name such as yours, I know like I met somebody called Ernest Hemingway, who is obviously not Ernest.
Really?
But like, I can just imagine what that's like when you call and book a flight or a ticket. Like I can imagine people being like, what's your name for real? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can just imagine Selena Bieber just, you know, being a great way to start a conversation or breaking the ice with different people.
It does work. Yeah. A lot of people, they do it, especially at restaurant reservations. That's where they're like, oh, you're the Selena. I'm like, I'm glad you remembered me when I called. I'm glad you remembered me. And this is also how I spell my name, because occasionally spelling out my surname, you know, Bieber, etc., pre-Justin was much harder. Post-Justin, I'm like, it's like Justin Bieber. That's how you spell it. Okay. And they get it right every single time.
So I want to know more about, before we talk about your career with GoDaddy and just, you know, what are you doing there that's really exciting? Tell me about some of your, you know, earlier life. You're from Australia and you've done some work in Istanbul. What was your first job like? What was it like growing up in Australia as well?
I mean, Australia was wonderful. I left in 2007, but for me, it's still home. And I was actually born in the UK. So a lot of people, I actually had breakfast with a fellow Australian this morning. She's like, your accent is all over. Yeah, it's not 100% Australian because I spent, you know, the first, let's call it the formative years in the UK, but my dad had immigrated to Australia. And so we always kind of had one foot in Australia. I used to go back and go to school when I was little for a little bit. And so it was just, it was wonderful, a very free society, you know, open my eyes to a lot of different things. I just have wonderful friends there. And so I wholly love Australia. And I think the work culture there, I started obviously part-time as I was studying, kind of working in a store. It was at a New Zealand brand. And so that was, I think I was 16 when I started working. And so it gave me a kind of taste of what it's like to visual merchandise, you know, sales and branding. And there was a certain level that you had to keep with the brand, you know, we're quite a let's say elite, an expensive brand. So that was a great way to start off. And then my first job was actually in Istanbul. So because I had the background of international studies and media, I was kind of like, well, and the family ties, I said, world is my oyster. I want to go and see what the world has for me. And so I left the nest, let's say in 2007, and moved to Istanbul. And I started, my first ever corporate job was in the infrastructure industry, which for a girl coming from Adelaide, even though I was well-traveled and I'd been exposed to a lot, it was a big jump into the deep end because it's a very male-dominated industry. It was, you know, marketing and that kind of branding and communications, it's come much, much later and is still something that's trying to develop in this sector. But it taught me so much. I mean, the different tasks I was exposed to, the different people that I had to work with, you know, from the chairman and CEO across the executive board. We had projects all through the Middle East. So we were doing both infrastructure in terms of government projects, build, operate, transfer, and then also touristic projects. So I got a good hold on how to crisis manage, risk manage, you know, communicate and market these kind of projects, while at the same time there's a tourism element in it. So that's a lot of, you know, sales development, looking at investment, and I did take on a project management role as part of that for one of the marinas that we were doing. And it's great to see, because the project, I visited the project over summer, it's thriving, the marina is full. So looking back, it was one of the most challenging, I think, to start my corporate career in that role. It was probably one of the most challenging things. I was still navigating the language, but I look back and I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad I put myself in that position and said yes. And I think that was when I started saying yes to everything, just because it was such a developmental path to development. Yeah, it was so, so enriching.
What was the one biggest takeaway from that experience? Like, if you could walk away from that and kind of summarize, like, my biggest learning experience, like learning lesson from that, from my first job, what would that be?
I think it's a really good question. I think there are quite a few. I think one, for me as a person, you know, if I take a look at Selena Bieber, what did you learn from this? I was very authentic. I was very transparent in what I did. And I think that for me boded really well, because it was a little bit different. I stood out. I mean, you know, it was a family led company. I was the only foreign in the entire company. So that was number one, kind of stay true to yourself. But because I established the corporate communications department from scratch, there was a lot of proactivity involved. And so, you know, not being afraid to that point of not being afraid to say yes to things, but also understanding that if I don't get it right the first time, or there might be alternatives to creating a single solution or a process. That was something I've really learned strongly from that experience. And network. I mean, the network building that I did while I was in that role, I was privileged because I got exposed to a lot of different environments and a lot of different circles. But those contacts and those that network is still something that I utilize today.
Working in the marketing kind of communication side myself, you know, we run a PR company, that's why we're able to do cool stuff like this, like the podcast and just all the other products that we do. I met a lot of people who've been in charge of creating entire departments in corporate communications, and just they have to spearhead the whole thing. And I find that they're always overwhelmed, because it's like almost like a little startup within a company where you have to hire, do the budgets, you decide what the objectives are, you decide what your KPIs are. Did you feel overwhelmed when you were like, they were like, here, Selena, set it up. See you in like 6 months when it's time to do your appraisal. Or did you did you organize it, and did you feel it was like there was a flow to it as well?
I mean, I think because I was so young and maybe blind to, or I didn't yet know, ignorant to some of those constraints, I was like, I'm going to do this and go for it. And, you know, people have to listen to me. And I think with that attitude, and because I came in from a foreign mindset, I mean, because I'd grown up elsewhere and then come in, there were certain convictions that I had, and people listened to me, despite the fact that I think I was the youngest in all of the company at that point in time. But as long as there was a logic to what we were doing, I didn't receive a lot of pushback. And yeah, it was overwhelming, but I also felt like I was creating at the same time. So I think it was rewarding. You know, there was an opportunity to say, hey, I've done this, and this is how this process now works. And, you know, whether it's a brand corporate marketing film that we created, or even something as small as getting everyone to put their corporate signature on their emails, that was a challenge in itself. I still had people who were bent on using the colors of their favorite football team. And I was like, you can't do this. This is why we have a corporate brand. You really can't do this. And so with a little bit of, you know, positive attitude, friendly, like joking, I was able to convince everyone to do it. But I just, that idea of creating and moving forward, I think that's what really kept me going.
We want to thank GoDaddy for sponsoring the Woman Power Podcast, an organization that is on a quest to empower women by creating opportunities for them every day. GoDaddy is well known for equipping women entrepreneurs from around the world by providing them with all the help and tools they need to succeed. GoDaddy is a place people come to name their idea, build a professional website, attract customers, sell their products and services, and manage their work online. You can follow them on Instagram at GoDaddy Arabia, and also visit their website, www.godaddy.com, for all their latest information.
And going from Australia to Turkey, like, that is a huge culture challenge. You are, not only is it the language, but it's like how people operate. So like in our part of the world, like, you never show up on time to meetings. The first 20 meetings is spent like having tea and just chatting about personal things. There's all these weird rules that nobody understands from abroad until they get here, and they're like, what is happening? Like, why are people late? And why? So, you know, you obviously have to adapt to like the cultural norms of that corporate entity or that corporate environment. Did you struggle with anything, you know, not just from a work perspective, but like also personally? Did you miss things from back home? Did you get homesick at all?
Oh, for sure. I mean, so for full disclosure of it, my mom's Turkish. So I went into an environment that I was relatively familiar with, but it's also going on family holidays. We at home, we don't speak Turkish. So, you know, I was going from a very Western open society, not to say that it isn't, but moving to Turkey was kind of, oh, I've shifted out of holiday mode to all of a sudden living. And that's, you know, to your point, from a corporate lifestyle perspective, there's a lot of hierarchy. There's a lot of what to say. Everyone says yes, even if it's not their job. And so Chinese whispers, by the time what I was supposed to do came to me, I would not understand. And I would actually, again, with my ignorance, I'd go and ask whoever had initially tasked that person or to eventually get to me, and I'd try to get clarity on what it was. So it took me a while to understand how people behaved and what their expectations were and how to navigate that. But it goes back to what I said earlier on understanding me as a person and having everyone around me understand. So they truly, by the time I left, they truly understood that you know, I don't play games, you know, what you see is what you get. And so that really helped me in, if it's not my responsibility, I'm going to say I'm not doing it because it's not my job. Go and ask person X. But at the same time, that idea of creating value and create and truly believing that what you're doing has a purpose. So that helped. And I think people around me actually, it rubbed off a little bit. So it was a two-way benefit. But even, you know, you go from a country where you drive everywhere to a country where a city that's bustling with traffic, that you're, you know, taking the service bus at like 6 o'clock in the morning to get to work, the time you spend in the traffic. You have to get used to that lifestyle. And it was very tiring. I mean, I got very, very homesick, leaving all my friends behind. But I wouldn't change it ever. It's made me who I am now. So I look back fondly on that.
My first experience with GoDaddy was just like buying this gorgeous piece of real estate from GoDaddy.
I'm so glad that you call it real estate, because that's exactly how it's the analogy that I use. Yeah, it is. It's your online piece of real estate.
Oh my God. And my husband, by the way, is an avid GoDaddy domain buyer. He buys and sells, but also really values a great domain, and mm-hmm. is always kind of hacking or trying to figure out how to get great domain names for his multiple projects in a creative way. So like just using all these, like he like creates some of his own words or uses words that would sound like something. So it's just interesting watching him, because he, you know, people are building beautiful things and they come to him to get their domains. But anyway, so I bought my domain to build my site. At the time, I don't believe GoDaddy offered hosting. I had to buy hosting from somewhere else. I know now you can get all the stuff from GoDaddy. And just looking at GoDaddy's site now is just like this glorious, older, more attractive sister of like, you know, like
the early days.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, tell me more about how you went from Istanbul to GoDaddy. Like, how did you end up in one of the leading tech companies in the world?
So when I was in Istanbul, I was fortunate to be working at an agency that served international clients. And so again, because of my background, I was kind of heading up those international tech clients, and we went into an RFP process, and GoDaddy was looking to, I mean, GoDaddy has a presence globally. You know, the company was founded in 1997, and so it's grown organically, and then later through obviously marketing investments. But we already had customers in Turkey, but it was a conscious, okay, let's invest more, let's go deeper into this market. And so we went through the RFP process, and I was leading that pitch. And just as we were going through that process, I got a job offer in Amsterdam. And so I saw that pitch through really good frequency and just rapport with the team, with the GoDaddy team that had come in, and they decided to sign with us. And just as we signed, I was like, I'm so happy, you know, pleasure to have done the pitch with you, but I'm moving to Amsterdam. And I did move to Amsterdam, and I started on that. It was again an infrastructure project, natural gas pipeline. But I kept in touch with the GoDaddy team and my former VP. And it was about a year later that I was kind of not, I wanted a change again. I was kind of like, this project isn't what I initially thought it was going to be. And so I said, listen, I'm looking for new opportunities. And it kickstarted a series of interviews and internal meetings. And finally, I switched to GoDaddy because of that initial meeting that I had. And I'm so glad I did. So a chance, you know, you never know what one encounter, going back to the idea of network, you never know what one encounter, one meeting is going to do later on. It could open really valuable doors for you. And that's my sort of firsthand experience with that.
So tell me what it's like to work for one of the leading tech companies in the world. I think the biggest, for sure, the biggest online web hosting and skill sharing platform in the world as well. There's all this glamour now that is around this idea of working in tech and being in tech, really cool working environment. You can go in with your jeans, you know, all these perks, flexi time, you know, is it the real deal? Is this what we see in the movies and read about in the books and listen to in the podcast, is that really what it's like to work at one of these companies?
So I think, you know, when you say this, that the intern comes to mind. You know, they go and they do the internship after years at uni and working in sales. I don't want to say I'm demystifying, but I mean, it's a job. You know, at the end of the day, it's a job. I think for me at GoDaddy, yeah, the tech world digitalization is super important. We're at the beginning of that journey. So when we look at our customers, we are talking about entrepreneurs, we're talking about small businesses that recognize the need to go online, but it's about making it accessible. And again, if we go back to who we were back in 1997 and those first initial years, it was more domains, it was more hosting, but the industry has moved so quickly. So now, even with the onset of COVID, the needs for people to digitalize, it kind of came overnight. So overall, I think we as a company, we're an e-commerce model. I mean, we function like any other small business. We take our learnings to our customers, but also we've got a long history of understanding how these businesses function, what their challenges are. We've got data from these customers that allows us to put into our product development cycles as well. So for example, our website plus marketing product, I love it because it's almost like a LinkedIn for websites, where you can integrate everything. You've got a tool that the control panel allows you to understand what's your next step in this online journey. So if you create your website, what else should you integrate with your website? What might be missing? And here in MENA, obviously the challenge is, how do we support the region to digitalize in a way that, or in a language that the internet hasn't developed with, because it was an English language first development. So now serving the region with Arabic language products is also super, super important. So I think for me, GoDaddy, yes, it's a tech company, and there's that, I mean, really data led, you know, striving for product excellence, moving together with the industry. Yes, we do have amazing offices in the US, where we do, you know, sit down and huddle, and we've got kind of fun spaces, and it's a great place to be. But also we function in MENA quite as a startup in terms of understanding what does the local market need? What do the customers need? How do we shine a light? Because we are a company, when you've got something intangible, it's about telling, how are we a part of the customer success? How are we part of the success of pushing forward digitalization in the region? And I think that's the bigger part of the story for me, in looking at delivering value and how that value translates to business growth for our customers, and understanding their needs. So every customer engagement, every kind of interaction is a learning process and a learning opportunity for us to take back and say, okay, this is... Sometimes we say, go and, you know, create your website. It's a do-it-yourself website builder. It's easy to do now, but still that can be a challenge for somebody who has zero tech knowledge. And bridging the gap between tech, or the offline and the online, I think that's where we really come into play. And so that for me is the core purpose and part of working at GoDaddy, really looking at how do we continue to support that digitalization across the globe, especially when we look at international markets.
We would like to express our immense gratitude to GoDaddy for sponsoring the Women Power Podcast. We personally love GoDaddy's goal to help transform the online presence of entrepreneurs and its continued efforts to foster the entrepreneurial mindset of women. GoDaddy has over 20 years of experience supporting entrepreneurs looking to start a business or digitalize their own. The company is leveraging its extensive knowledge and milestones across the MENA markets. Their mission is to give their customers the tools, insights, and the people to transform their ideas and personal initiative into success. You can learn more about GoDaddy and all their exciting initiatives by following them on Instagram at GoDaddy Arabia and by visiting their website, www.godaddy.com.
Tell me about... You know, a lot of our listeners are small biz owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're students who are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, they're corporate professionals who want a side hustle. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were going to come onto GoDaddy, what are some of the stuff that you would want them to know that exists in GoDaddy that can serve them at the very early stage of the creation of their companies?
I think there's conceptually and then there's product wise. So conceptually, what I always say is, you know, how be serious about your business. You know, we see a lot of informal businesses that are being formed maybe through Instagram or social media. But how do you build trust with your customers? Because ultimately, if you have a business plan, this digital presence needs to be a part of it. Same with the marketing plan. And that's why you do this planning and development. So looking at where do you see your business in 6 months' time? Where do you see or your side hustle in 6 to 12 months' time? Where do you want to take it? And even on a personal level, you know, if you've got your own personal profile that you may want to branch out into consulting or something else in the future, make sure you secure your online real estate. Make sure you secure your name so that you can build on it in the future. You don't have to do something tomorrow. That's the beauty of digital. You can downsize and downgrade or go full throttle forward within 24 hours. You know, you don't need to knock down physical walls. You can erase and rebuild. But when it comes to building an online presence specifically, think about how everything is integrated. When you, to your point earlier, the websites, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I remember we were using GeoCities and everything was kind of hyperlinked and these websites were really, really awful and heavy on the eye when you think about those old designs. But now it's about simplicity and about how things are integrated. Everything, you have to think of an end-to-end customer journey. And so I think I'm still amazed at how digital marketing does an excellent job in targeting. So let's use Instagram as an example. You search for something and past couple of days, I've been searching for garden furniture, for example. And through that discovery process on Instagram, I'm checking different accounts. I've been checking online, you know, websites, and it's taken me on this entire different pathway versus what I normally do because I'm actually actively, I'm not a passive customer or a passive lead. I'm searching for a specific product. And so keeping that idea of the customer journey in focus and building what you want around it from a digital presence point of view, that's I think the core thought process or foundation. So where will somebody find you? How will you then capture them? You know, where do you want to take them? If they come from Instagram, can they then click on your website? And do you then show your products or portfolio there? What is the knowledge or what is the information that you want to transfer? What are they searching for? What is their purpose to visit you? And then making sure they can find that content. And when you go into web page design, then obviously you need to get your domain name to have your online real estate. You know, that's your address online. But then what do you put into it? What kind of shop do you build? Or what time, you know, it can be a studio, it can be a little coffee truck, it can be anything that you want, but you need to define what that should be. And it should be based on asking the questions of, you know, who is my audience? What are they looking for? What do I deliver to them? What, you know, what questions am I answering for them? What's my value proposition? And planning around that. And I think we, from a company point of view, if we look at the product side of things, we offer all of these end to end. I mean, now you come in, you buy a domain name and you buy a website builder. In the region, we've got the Arabic website builder and eStore. So depending on if you want to, you know, sell something online or if you want to start with just an online presence, within that website builder, you've got social media integrations, you've got, you know, click to WhatsApp so you can chat through WhatsApp. So all these, where's your customer? How are you going to join the conversation? That's the essence.
I love that, Selena. Let me tell you why. I've been saying I love that a lot, but because I do. I started my company, again, like when I was 22, and I got my domain from GoDaddy, which was my agency name, www.obainhill.com. I still have it, obviously. And I invested in a great website when I had no employees and no office. And I promise you, like I manifested it because clients would, this is pre-Instagram. And by the way, I mean, today it's Instagram, tomorrow it's something else. So like,
of course it is,
having a website, having a mailing list, having your newsletter, having your own content-based platforms that is not based on
you where own I'm, it. You own it.
For sure. And I used to remember most of my clients, because of also how young I was, they would go on my website, they'd see all my previous work, my copy was really good, so they would trust me to want to work with me. And also another hack, I would avoid meeting people. I'd be like, I would send them great emails. I had a great, my name and my, little things like wafa@obeinhill.com, just to say like, I'm a serious person, not a Gmail or so getting.
Exactly.
All that stuff sorted out. So clients would sign my quotations without meeting me because I had all this collateral. I had I say it's like my online office, like if you can't afford a beautiful office on a great street or prime location to like, that's so old school to like make a point that you can now position yourself as a global company from your website and you can be a one man show, like working from a Starbucks. So I understood so much value of that early on. And number two, whenever I do my Instagram Googling, because I think especially in this part of the world, we are always on Instagram and other social media platforms. I would, like you said, I would know if a company was serious or big or someone I could trust if they had a website. It's almost like something they have to tick. And if they didn't have a website, I would guess that they would be at the very early stages of their business. So I usually wouldn't trust them. Or I would know that they're more of an, they're really starting out. It's a one-man show, just working from their phone. They haven't made any commitments. So that signals to me that, I can buy their product, but know that it's not going to be here on time or just be flexible with them. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I think get a website, get a holding page up, get something up that says, I am serious about my work.
Exactly. I'm
making a commitment, you can trust me. And I think that's what you say when you invest in a website. And we build websites as well. We use all the GoDaddy tools. And I just feel like if it's hard, and I don't necessarily design all the websites myself, I outsource, get the support you need, but get your online office up. If you have nothing but that should do for you to run your
entry. That's also the beauty. And so some of the feedback, and I love the fact that you're talking about trust, and this is the flexibility and richness of digital. You don't have to get a physical shop. You can visual merchandise your online real estate to make yourself seem much, much bigger than you are. And this isn't the first time I've heard this. There are solopreneurs, people that are truly starting out, but they're so committed. They have their plan. They know the value of investing in good content, in brand building, your brand, building that online, getting a domain-based email address, a professional email address. I'm just like you, if I get an email from a business on a Gmail, the red flags go off in my head. Yeah, you're not getting any money from me. It's not going to happen because it just, and this isn't, me speaking as, Selena from GoDaddy. This is me speaking as, Selena as the consumer. It doesn't give me trust. I don't want to interact with a business that doesn't have a proper online brand. That for me is 100%, especially in a world where, in a region where we're so reliant on, everyone talks on WhatsApp, everyone has my mobile number, but I need to feel like a brand is truly committed, no matter how big or small they are. They need to be truly committed to their own professionalism as a business. And if they invest in that online branding and they have a solid and not even impressive, but a professional shop front that I can see online, then they're already one step ahead of the rest. Yeah. Really.
I feel like if you want me to buy from you, the least you can do is tell me that you are committed and you are, you're all in and you're invested and you're not going to let me down as a consumer. It's just like the little things, it's like the most basic stuff, get the basic stuff, get your email get a customized email for you that also has your domain name in your email, basic thing. You can integrate it with Gmail or any other platform. Yeah, anyone can do that for you if you can't do it yourself. Get a site up. I don't care how simple it is. Get something that can showcase your products or people can connect with you, or you have your address. Even if it's your home address, just get your basics and ducks in order and then start operating. What I love as well about just getting a website up or just getting your domain or just getting all that stuff is you don't need to even have a commercial registration. GoDaddy doesn't ask you put your license. It's like, you can be anything. You can be a digital educator. You can sell clothes. You can, sell your artwork. You can be a consultant or an advisor. You just need to have a website. So I love that. And I think that's a hack. Like, GoDaddy gives you the hack. Like, here you go. And I love that it gives you options. The amount of times I've thought of different names for a bunch of stuff, and it's like, this is what I want. And it's like, well, it's taken. And it's like, damn it. But then it'll give you like 15 other options.
Yeah.
You're sitting there like, .ar.co.uk that has a nice ring to it. You know what I mean? Where in the world should I be based from? So I love that, there are options like that as well. So Selena, tell me, what are, you've built entire departments for companies. You're traveling around the world. You're doing so much work in MENA. Tell me, what are some things that are up your sleeve, or like things that you envision for GoDaddy and for the community? It doesn't have to be right away, but like, what should we look forward to in the next few years? What's on your checklist?
I mean, for GoDaddy, I think it's really about continuing to position the brand in the local market. I'm so happy to see the way we've been received. We have had customers in the region, as we have globally, but here, the ability to translate the brand into something that the MENA region can relate to showcase the customers that we have, some amazing stories from all across, from the UAE, from Bahrain, from Saudi, from Egypt. And one of the things I've loved is showcasing these customers in our advertising, to see that their moment of pride is to have their story shared with the rest of the region. And that really creates a true brand connection, because it's authenticity. We are part of their story. And so that for me is that idea of empowerment. So over, the next few years, continuing to tell this story, to evolve our brand as a core player in the region when it comes to digital, being the partner and one-stop shop for small businesses, entrepreneurs who want to get online, and not just from a tools point of view, but also from a knowledge transfer. I think we're very confident when it comes to offering care and guidance. So our guides, they speak in Arabic. We've got international English guides. They support the region. But beyond that, it's also about how can we supply the region with the content and the hands-on guidance. So we've been doing a lot of workshops. The partnership with Startups Without Borders just recently ended, but it's about continuing to show the way. So stay tuned for more in that space of hands-on guidance, a little bit more around education. It's kind of my project that I'm working on. So hopefully I'll have, positive news to share over the next few months to a year. But that's something that I truly believe in. And I think we as a brand, it's something that we need to continue doing to really facilitate that idea of how do we make the online world accessible for everyone. But growing the business, I mean, there's huge potential here when we look at the level of connectivity, when we look at the vision of the different governments. Digital is a core pillar to that, to create a sustainable economic growth. So becoming part of the ecosystem, playing a core role in helping the push for digitalization, and therefore, creating healthier, sustainable economic growth, I think that's going to be a key role for us. And we look forward to engaging more with stakeholders in that area.
What are some of your personal goals, checklists that, things you'd love to achieve in the next few years?
Last year I did a little bit of a side hustle around data visualization. It kind of ended last year, but for me that was an interesting experience, and it really gave me something else, again, linked to digital, but understanding this power of data. And so hot on off the press, I think I'm looking at doing a doctorate in business administration starting next year. I don't know if this is a good idea, or back to the point of, out of all the things that we're juggling, which one seems like the smartest option right now?
PhD, of course. Let me pile it on top of another fact schedule, and I'll figure it out.
But I love studying. I love researching. Understanding more. So that is what I'm quite like 99% going to start doing next year. And hopefully that'll let me branch out a little bit alongside GoDaddy. You know, again, it's that idea of how do I create more value? How do I learn more and take myself forward? So that's going to be the next chapter in my personal journey of development. And maybe I'll be teaching one day. Maybe you'll see me.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll wait, stay tuned. We'll have another conversation to see where I am on that path.
You know, I just think it's so motivating just to know what everybody's like short-term plans, long-term plans. And it's awesome to set like a big, hairy, audacious goal and then start to figure out how to bring it to life and how to like pay for it and how to like reverse engineer it and what you have to do now to, you know. So it's not like, I always feel like if I have nothing to look forward to that's challenging and exciting, then every day just is so mundane. But I need to work towards something, even if it's in the far future, whether it's a race or it's like a great trip that I want to do, or if it's a job, or like you said, in your case, just continuous learning and just adding, you know, more stars to your your kind of educational background and just being able to add value. And I agree about the value. At the end of the day, what we're trying to do is we're investing in ourselves. We're the assets. So we have to keep learning and learning and learning. And then I always say, if you can't buy property or if you can't invest in yourself, like just pumping money into you, because you become valuable to companies and organizations and to yourself and to your family. So that's a great kind of goal to have, and good luck. I would love to go back to school. I'd love to do my MBA. So again, maybe you'll inspire me once you commit and I'll be like, she's doing it. I have to start applying as well. But this was really great. I love to end my podcast with the same question, which is, what do you feel is your superpower?
And this is a really difficult question. I really, mulled over it. But I think for me, I'm very inquisitive. I like to question things, when even random things, like I'll see something or hear something and then I'll start questioning it. So I think that helps me tackle problems or challenges, because even if something is really, really overwhelming, I kind of get into this mode of how do I face this? How do I find my way around it? And I sort of persevere until I can find a solution. And so together with that, it brings, curiosity and creativity. And when I kind of match something from external stimulus, like something can trigger a thought in my mind, and that'll lead me on this path of resolution to that challenge or to the issue I'm facing. So I think when all of these things come together, I've kind of termed it as kind of pausing in the sunlight, where I reach this moment of epiphany or just sheer bliss where everything seems to come together. And so, that for me is that inquisition together with putting the puzzles of the pieces together. I think that's what I would say is my superpower.
Thank you for sharing your superpower. You know, growing up, I think, especially, I mean, again, I'll speak for myself, but we're taught that asking too many questions and being too curious is nosy and wrong and it's out of place. And being curious is such a great clue to what excites you and what motivates you and gives you kind of the next step forward to move, in areas where that gives you energy. So I hope everybody who is curious doesn't stop, asking questions and going where they're excited and just being a bit, disruptive, and just ignore all the naysayers who are like, that's too inquisitive, or this is out of your, this is not really your department, but you're like, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And the worst they're going to say is no, or I'm not going to answer the question. And then you walk away the same person as you were before. But if you get an answer, then you walk away a little bit richer than you were before. So I think there's always a win in that situation.
This was great, Selena Bieber. It's so nice to meet you. And it was so nice to just understand what GoDaddy's mission is in this part of the world. We're just so excited to on behalf of the Woman Power Podcast team, we're so, so thrilled to be affiliated with a brand like GoDaddy. And we're so excited that we can demystify you know, GoDaddy to anybody who wants to start their own website or commit to buying their domain, their hosting, setting up their own online office or online shop to get their business going. So I hope if people pick up from one thing today, other than, by the way, love the curiosity kind of ending, but you know, go on GoDaddy, explore the options for you, you know, think of the type of name that you would want to have for your brand, for your company. Just take that first step, purchase. And it's, you know, it's such affordable real estate. It's like $10 or less for most of the domains that I've seen, at least. So it's a great commitment. But I'm excited to see what we can cook up together in the future. And please keep us up to date with your plans. Yeah.
That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to an episode of the Woman Power Podcast. And thank you for downloading and streaming our podcast every week. If you love what you've heard, tag us on Instagram and follow the Woman Power Podcast and Woman Power Summit account for more information on our next episode. Please leave a rating review wherever you get your podcast. It really helps other women discover the show. That's it from me. See you next week.